Father, we just thank you for this wonderful, most special day, and we thank you for your goodness, for your blessings. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you for all that you've done for us, for your wonderful love, your wonderful concern. And Father, we thank you for the provisions you've given us. We thank you for the insights you've given us in your word. It's very special. And we read, glean through your word, and we realize how much love you have for those that you've made us as your people. Father, we thank you for that special bond of love that you've put upon us. Father, when we're not doing very well, you still love us. You're very concerned about us. And Father, I believe as we all read your word more and more and more, we realize that there's an obligation that we have of coming into a closer spot with you from the time that we start to the time that we finish. And Father, help us to take that place with honor, take that place of trying to do the very best we can do. We might follow thy guidelines and thy directions. Father, we just pray that you'd keep us in perfect peace. Father, you pray that you'd touch us and keep the joy of the Lord as our strength. And Father God, in this day we realize we need joy. We need peace. We need that elevation that comes only from your Holy Spirit that lifts us up and puts us on a plane above where we would be without it. And Father, we thank you for the Spirit of God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, the Spirit that abides within us. And Jesus, we thank you that you was willing to come to this earth to pay in full that we might have redemption. We might be able to see thee face to face one of these days. And we thank you for thy many blessings that you're interceding for us day by day and moment by moment, second by second, praying for us, lifting it up. And Father, we thank you for your blessed assurance that you're here in a very special way. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Last week, the Lord was really one morning showing me how all of us, and no one, no special, but we're all, when we get saved, we don't see this, but the Lord was just showing me this is what happens. Basically, we get saved, we're in a fellowship with the church, and from that time, there's actually another parallel road that gets constructed by the enemy. We don't notice it. We don't even realize it's there. It's so close to us that when we're so really, we're first saved, we're really happy and really exuberant and we're really thankful and all this. But pretty soon we start losing maybe a little bit of that zealousness and being able to have that affection for the Lord. In that, this other road sort of seems more desirable. And it lays right in this way that the Lord can, that the enemy can take us from the Lord very easy. And it's very seducive. You don't really see much more, but it's easier. It's a little easier than it is staying on the road there. It's like it's just there, sort of, it's easy for you. And it's, you see it at first as very comfortable and very desirable. The enemy is very a trickster and he can do these things. But if we're not careful, pretty soon that gets part of our being. And pretty soon we're heading in the same direction. And for years, maybe the old enemy will let you stay so close, but you're just pulling you off a little bit of time. It's so gradual that you don't know it. And that's why we really all of us need to keep seeking God, because it's something about the enemy that pulls us off. He don't do it just as most people. You don't backslide over. We can't say backslide, so some people don't believe in it, but we believe in backsliding because when if it came that fast, we'd be aware of it. But he catches us off guard. He catches us not prepared. He catches us in a frame of, really, we're off someplace else. And he's doing something to us, and I believe this is correct. And we need to really realize that God wants to stay on that straight and narrow. He says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life, and few there be that find it, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that enter thereat. So God's way is very narrow. And even though people might say, well, it's really an easy way, but the Bible even says it's narrow. And narrow means it's sort of hard to stay in there. If you get on a narrow road, it's hard to make any speed on a narrow road because, you know, you're a little bit afraid. You don't have any safeties like you do when the road's real wide. You can get off here a little bit there, and you're still on the road. But when it's narrow, You've got to slow down. You've got to take more attention. You've got to see what you're doing. And I believe there's a lot to this in Luke. It's the 21st chapter of Luke. In this chapter, the disciples have been asking Jesus, what's the signs of his coming? And we've been through those parts a lot of times, so we're not going to come over that verse. But there's a scripture here in Luke that really got my attention. And it says, and take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that they come upon you unaware. Probably all of you here don't remember World War II, but basically I remember. And our nation was figured something was going to happen. But we was those fellows in Pearl Harbor that Sunday morning, were really unprepared what was going to take place. And many, many of them lost their life. And that's the same with us. The Lord's coming, and this should be in our heart. Watch, therefore, and pray always, always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. God even says, and Jesus says, prepare. Well, you know, if that had been a real easy assignment, I don't believe they would have said it. Says, you guys, you got it all made, you know, don't worry about it. What this means, there's some concern. There's a possibility that what you think you got, you haven't got.
That's right.
You know, you might lose it. And what we got, our prize is too big to lose it. What God has for you is not a second chance. It's this time only. It's a time that we need to seek it now. We have a time that God wants us to help us, that we only pass by one time. And I think God wants to get that in our hearts right here tonight. You know, every day we don't never get that chance of tomorrow. And I was reading in Peter tonight that God has a great work for us as individuals. You know, people miss it. But Peter describes it as a place of doing, giving God sacrifices. That's for us, the chosen people. And then it says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy people, a holy nation, showing forth the praises of who has called us out of glory and the honor to God. So there is a calling that God wants us to look to him through the gift of his son and through the one that tarries and works with us this while we're here. It will not be caught unaware. You know, I used to didn't like inspections sometimes. The military, they'd give you an inspection. It was real fast. You might be gigged. Gigged means they found a problem. And that problem, you're going to have to pay some recompense for it. You're going to lose something or have to have extra duty or things happen because you wasn't prepared. And that's the way life is. Many times when people have great tragedies, they're not really prepared for what's taking place. And I know New Orleans, I believe most of those people weren't prepared. But yet God, in his infinite mercy, about a year ago, the Lord started showing me, and I don't know why, how defenseless New Orleans was. I didn't realize until the Lord started showing me, but it was way below. It's a place that was down. And the ships are going by way up here and this down there. So anyway, it was a place that people need to have a method in case of an accident they can get out. But people in themselves are not many prepared in ways of life. Another interesting thought the Lord gave me today while we're in these areas of thinking, that many times when we're thinking, we think, we want to know what's going on, but yet we don't want to take any attention to thinking that we're supposed to be thinking. You know what we're supposed to be thinking about? If we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, we're to be thinking how I'm going to stay available to the Lord. That should be my constant, that's my priority. But you know, I thought about, because I've been accused many times of through the years, you know, you really are too tough. You're too, we don't even want to think about these things. That's what, we don't want to think about these things.
See, that's the things we should be thinking of, and God will help us through it. But that's what He wishes. Our thinking is really not correct in the Lord. God wants us to think. We've got a mind, but yet we need to realize that our whole being is in His hands. We're not slack concerned, as God says, God is not slack concerning His promise. We need to not be slack either concerning His promises that He's given us. The Bible says He's long-suffering. But we need to take heed to things that we've heard, lest any time we would let them slip. That we would not be called castaways. Castaway is someone that doesn't really care, and they just get out, and pretty soon they're in a place, there's no return. An airline, when it comes to a certain part, there's no return. That airline's got to keep going because they can't turn around and they've went too far. And that's the way our life is the Lord. We come to a place and we go too far. God says this is the day of salvation. This is the day that we're going to seek God. He says He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee because we trust in Thee. Why do we trust? Why do we need perfect peace? Because our peace is part of God. The Bible says think of the things that are good. Think of the things that are honest. Think of the things that are just. Think of the things that have a good report. These are the things that we're to think about, the things that are good. But the normal people, Bible says the natural man receives not these things, for the foolish is unto him, neither can he know them, for the spiritually discerned. We're all come from the same place when we start off. We're all equal. In Romans, the 12th chapter, He says He gives us a portion. We have one gift. Faith, and we start off basically the same, but then it becomes us whether we're going to choose to go deeper or choose to just go the easy way. And the least line's resistance is many the way that many of us are taught to go. But the least line's resistance is what causes electricity. It's not harnessed to shoot down the ground and do much. It doesn't want to go unless it's contained by insulators or that. Because it's out there frying, basically, because it doesn't want to be controlled. And that's why we don't want to be controlled. God wants to control us with His mighty hands, His mighty love, that we'll be had the controlling from heaven. Because our lives are uncontrollable. We're like a Mustang or the horse that doesn't want to be broke. And many of us are really without remedy, without the Spirit of God. And we need this to realize, you know, I was thinking about today also, that Christians, when you go to a church, and most of the churches I go, and everybody's the same, but when you get to know some of these people, they're wild as Mustangs. They're wild. Their philosophy is not even close to being, but they're still the same you're all processed in the same place. So something has to be changed from the heart. Even though the pastor may preach to everyone, but some are not receiving. If there is something going out and some are just there thinking all's well, I'm just saying this because we need to think here tonight. We need to take heed to everything that comes our way, realizing that God has an issue for us. He's got a very special blessing for us. He's got an inheritance that's up there waiting for us. It's already been inscribed to your name. He gives us a name above all names. He gives a way above all things. He is there. Israel, God had given Israel a mighty blessing. He tells over in Deuteronomy, I believe it is, He says, the blessings shall come if you live right. And then it goes down to 26, 27, 28 chapters. But then it says, if you don't do right, you're going to have problems. They're going to be like plagues. They're going to haunt you. And this is the way, you know, we'd say, well, life's tough. It is tough because God made it for us, because that's what it's all about, is you and me. It's all about us. He wants us to be included in heaven. But we've got to choose while we're here. But we need to really seek God and say, hey, that's for me. That's what's going to give me an inheritance, and I don't want to lose it. And also, if you want to have a better life here, you can have it with having it. But you gotta let go of the things of the world. Because the way of the world is not the way for God. The Bible says that God cannot even see us in the world. He loved not the world, neither the things are in the world. Any man loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So I think sometimes that's why this century and the 2000 where we're living, we're so close, as he showed me, we're so close, even in our religious experience, we're all right close to where the unrighteous is. We're very close. There's not much separation between us. The old days, there was more of a separation. Where right now, we're sort of paralleling. You know, that's odd, because God says he wants a peculiar people, a zealous people, a holy people, a people without wrath, a people that have righteousness. You say, well, these things are too tough. But that's the way God wants us, because he wants us to work out our salvation. Work is not easy. You know, when you apply for a job, it's got some work on it. Some people say, well, I don't like work, so they don't do very good with work. But there are some people say, I'll endure work because I realize that I need it to make me a living. But just what God's given you will make you right now, and you will live happily. Happy is the man, happy is the woman whose God is the Lord. So when you do these things, you start seeing that you're going to start feeling better. You're going to have perfect peace, is my statement. You're going to have joy. You're going to have sunshine when everything else is all, when the rain's coming down, you're going to have sunshine. You're going to have joy. You're going to have a colossal blessing. And when it gives you the thrill of all is when you get to pray for people and you see the supernatural happening because you're the intercessor for that described place. And that's what Peter was talking about, that you'll lay these sacrifices on the altar for God, that you'll be there taking that place. And there's not many intercessors in the day that we're living. Sad, sad, sad. Many people don't know how to get a hold of God. It's tragedy. We've come to a place that people don't really know how to seek him. They don't know how to find him. And it's sad because God said, my people, I'm here. And everybody says, well, how do you get to you? Or it takes a lifetime truly to get. He wants to start from class A, like arithmetic, reading, writing, and arithmetic, and spelling, and all these, what we do as taken from our baby days. We should be seeking God that same way. You know, it's nice to receive these, to know what we can handle ourselves in life, and God expects that. But there also comes a, maybe you think I'm harping on the subject, but the thing is, if we leave this out, we're going to miss it. If we just cast it off and say, I believe it. I believe because the Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. And I read it over and over and over. I was reading it in the Isaiah today about, he says, woe to those who make people stumble. I'm not going to say what he says the rest part of it, but he gives a great admonishment that we need to seek him, that we need to call upon her. And it's like when Jonah went to Nineveh, the king there said, told his people to put on ashes and seek God and make their heart as needing God, repentance. And here Jonah was disappointed because he had told him what this was going to take. So, you know, God is bigger than our minds. And we get something in our little old mind and we get it all confused. But God's there to enable us through these situations like Jonah. I believe that Jonah would say, Lord, teach me thy way. Oh, the Lord says, I'll sure show you. But that's where we're all like Jonah. We see these things as a glimpse of, we don't see the whole circle. We don't see the whole picture. We don't see what's in it. And that's the way life is. That's why we have in low points and high points, because God wants to lead us through these areas that we really don't know in ourselves. We have no idea what's going to be tomorrow, but we know who holds tomorrow. We know him. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Glory. And we have that belief that he will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. If we will stay close to him, it says he'll be with us through the times of destruction, through the times of any of our problems. God is good. He says a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. God is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. He knoweth them. Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or woman either, or stand in the seat of the scornful. There's things that we should do as not as much as doing. Blessed is a man that walks not in these areas. We shouldn't do so many wants doing as we should don't doing. Some things I think that we're to grow before God allows us to start doing. We get the cart before the horse. It'd be like a master builder get out of here a bunch of laymen that never had any experience. He said, no, get your experience first, and then after you get the experience, then I'll start using you. We get the card ahead. We got to be a master builder out here for God when God hasn't chosen us for that yet. We haven't prepared our heart. There's something out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. There's still heaviness. There's wrong things and issues of life in our heart. And God wants his heart to be clean. God wants his heart to be a heart of love, a heart of joy, peace. The things of God wants us, instill us with his love. And God will take time for us. He will take time for us to grow. He takes the time of growing. You have that relationship with God in that special time. It's like the husband and wife in Israel the first year, as I understand it, didn't have to work. They had it. That's where we are in enjoying God. There's a time when we need to prepare. And God said, oh, church, prepare right now. Wait, hold on. Prepare, 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 because I'm coming soon. And you'll never be sorry preparing. Calling upon God. Bible, Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call on me and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. The word of God is so powerful. Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a word that God has given within us, and it cuts asunder. When you use the word of God, it hurts people. And that's why we need the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, because we can take the word itself and hurt people. The word of God is powerful. But we take it with the Holy Spirit. It's like salve. It's like it goes in there and dissolves it. It's like the person doesn't get hurt because of the effect of the Spirit of God with the Word. You abide in me and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, it shall be done. But there's a blending that takes place with the believers. You know, it would be hard for a person to be in the military in Iraq if they had ties with people where they were at. It would be very difficult for that soldier to be able to soldier because of the ties they have. Follow what I'm saying? And that's where we are. We need to get rid of these ties that hold us down, that bring, I'm not going to say what I want to say, but it hurts us. Those ties ruin our sacrifice. Those ties ruin our ability to receive from God. Those ties make it impossible for us to ever really feel joyful. It's able to make us happy because our ties hold us. Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. Those so easily beset us. We get ties because on that road that we get on, we're sort of we're getting away from the Lord. We're getting out here where we sort of feel our oats. Bible says, flee youthful lusts. When we're young, many times there's times when we just go out and do some things we don't even think about. There's people, I have a nephew. He's a pastor now and he's really, really talented. And he's a musician. But I remember what he told Betty's mother when he got 21 because his folks were so strict on him. They were strict. That he said when he got 21, he was going to go down and learn how to cuss. He was going to get drunk, but he never did it. But I'm saying that's what sometimes our youth is. We want to do these things, but there is something. When Apostle Paul says, flee youthful lust, that's what I'm saying. You know, there's things that we just got to try it. You know, us older ones here have already been down the road, so it's probably hit us. Young people will have it. But youthful lust is something that has a way of taking us off into a different direction that God's approval is not on it. But this not just comes in when we get right where we should be with God. Every day of our life, we need the Father's approval. We need his mighty covering upon us. And that's why it's easier to be led by the Spirit than in the Spirit, because in the Spirit's over here, and you're sort of handling you're sort of conversing, but that's the farthest it gets. But when something gets together, it's like a husband and wife, or like Micah and Jennifer. Jennifer lives here, but Micah decides to live in Oroville. It's not going to work. But that's the way it is we do with the Lord. That's why he wants to live within us. His pleasures, His blessing. Oh, I feel the glory of God. His anointing comes upon us. We get that shelter, that protection, that mighty hand of God. The liberty that we have where the Spirit of the Lord is, Jared, is liberty. The power of God is there to bless us, to strengthen us, to give us no longer in confusion. We're walking up right before heaven. You're not condemning, because many times we condemn ourselves. It's natural. See, there's different types of people. There's people that are basically, that are slow, and there's survival slow, and there's some that's a little bit too fast, but our thinking's different. There's some people, they always are hard on themselves. God doesn't want you to be hard on yourself. Whatever a problem is, that's the problem from our old selves. Give that thing back to God. God will keep you. But we all have hang-ups within ourselves. And many of us, not besides the Satan, it's just that they're part of me. And I need to take heed to those things, of these great subduing wrong things that I'm tempted to do. I need to take care of also these little offenses that I bring to people. Do I handle myself properly? Do I handle myself as pleasant, letting the light of God shine upon me? Why would God want to put me in a high position as a great pastor or as a great orator when I couldn't handle myself on the street? God is not unrighteous. God works with us as we are. Until we can learn to handle ourselves where we are, we don't get no big promotions. But God is here to change us from glory into glory. And that's why we don't compare notes. And that's why we don't judge one another. The Bible says, judge not. And that's why we have to learn to be what we have. We thank God for it. Thank God for what I have. He's satisfying me. Everything that I do, I'm satisfied. He doesn't have to buy me a red car or so-and-so. I'm satisfied because it's Him. I'm content whatever state I am in. I don't have to have the shiny, glossy, because He is my reason. And when we come to this place, these other things that bother seem to just sort of fade away. It's just because they're not there. It's just all, you know, when you're out of kilter with God, then they're big. But when you start getting with God, they all just fall away, and pretty soon, there's nothing there. God wants us to keep us that way. But as we grow from death, the enemy comes back to recommit his way into our lives. And he understands the issues of life where our weaknesses are. And he hits us in those weaknesses. He hits us in a place that you're trying to overcome, but he'll hit you and say, you know, you get angry, don't you? And you have to just say, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to try to get angry no more. You have no power over me. But we all have these issues. One might have lusts. One might have pride. And as I see it, that's probably the big issue that's getting into a lot of our bigger things, is pride. As pride will separate us from God. Pride is a tool that the enemy and the master enemy come against the master craftsman, which is God. But he had this pride that he could put upon God's people. And he would take it very easy on these people, because he knew if he come in very sharply, that most Christians would know it was from the enemy. He doesn't do it that way. He comes in very sly. He comes in to let you think, oh, you know, you're sure doing good. You know, he's coming very quietly. You know, you're just, you know, just look at yourself. You know, you're a wonder. Pretty soon, if you're not careful, something else comes in a little worse. And pretty soon you're receiving this. You think it's from the Lord. Oh, Lord, you couldn't do without me. God says, hey, you got pride in you. And we have to start dealing with these issues. Selfishness. Selfishness is an area that we have to, am I willing to give my all to someone else? When we're selfish, especially in the gifts of God, people become very selfish. But when we become selfish, then we lose from God, because when we become selfish, God sees that we're not a good representative for Him to be blessed. We find ourselves bound up in little knots because of a little bit of selfishness, no concern for others. And generally, these things come in so gradual that we're off of that road a little bit more than we should be. But God's there lovingly. He loves you, but there's no one else that can change this, only our own selves. So we have to seek God. You know, this is a sad thing that many of our churches no longer even talk about these issues. But these are very deep issues, and these will change people into be a product of God and can walk honorably before God. That they will walk with His blessings. And another thing that bothers people is when they get blessed by God, they got to go around and tell everybody how great they are. But, you know, this turns God off. So if you want to get blessed with God, just don't tell them what. Just keep quiet, because the blessing's too good. You know, we have to learn to walk in the Lord. But God understands us. And all these areas I'm talking about now are all very forgivable. And God understands that we do these things. And all they do is hurt our character. Our character is to be like Jesus. But in this character, if I'm selfish, it shows. If I'm angry, it really shows. If I get prideful, boy, everybody knows it. And if I get hateful, boy, everybody knows it too. I mean, I'm not fooling anybody but myself. I might think that I'm fooling people, but we harbor these things. Then in our little glass house that we have, everybody realizes that we're a flake. And by that time, the enemy has us pushed out to we're sidelined, and God has to sideline us because we're not, at that time, a dedicated person for the Lord because of these little problems, little foxes that come in. But where our big foxes come in, I'm going to get in that, is when we deliberately stop walking in faith. Stop trusting in God. These little areas, we all have them, and we need to watch them. But if when you stop having faith, you're automatically going to start having trouble in these little areas. When you quit trusting God, you're going to have trouble in these areas. When you quit letting the Holy Ghost move in your heart and life, you're going to certainly have troubles. Because He is the cleanser. He is the one that appropriates the blessing from heaven. He's the one that establishes us, makes us worthy to praise our Heavenly Father. And these are areas that we have to learn to work, to realize that God wants us to be made in His likeness. We take on His particles. The Bible says in Peter, we take on all these elements, long-suffering, joyfulness. We pursue these. Yet, we can pursue these all the time, and it doesn't interfere with our walk with God. See, you walk in the Spirit, led, but you still, in your mind, you're pursuing this. You're still cleaning your garden all the time. You're cleaning the weeds out. You're cleaning what the trash has come in. You're cleaning the cobwebs out. You're washing. You're still sweeping your house. You're cleaning as a unto God. And you're still receiving from God. But this is why you're receiving God, because you're doing your homework. And if you quit doing the homework, then pretty soon you're like a little old sly fox, and pretty soon, like Samson. That's what happens to us. When we lose our sight, Samson lost his sight, and then he was chained. And that's the way the enemy is trying to kill, destroy, and steal what we have for the Lord. God is very loving, very concerned, but this is the problems will keep us going on. And it gives us that insight that if I don't do these other things, it causes me to come out to be a one in bondage. The Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abound the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain. God gives us that strength that we might walk before the Lord, pleasing Him, that we might walk in the Lord under all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Strength of all might, according to His glorious power, and long suffering with joyfulness. Are we joyful? We need to be joyful. We need to be excitedly. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. We need to be excited for our God. Oh, hallelujah. We need to have that smile, smile. There used to be a song, smile, smile. Christian, you must smile, smile, smile. Just a happy smile. Did anyone know that? But there's an old song, and smile, it said we need to smile for God. We get sourpuss. We get a frown. People can read this after a while. What's wrong with you? Oh, I'm just having a bad day. We need to have good days. We need to have good days. And I remember Trinity Factor, over very few days I ever had a bad day. It was good. And God gives us that hope, that strength, that power, that determination. We're more than conquerors through Him which loved us. All the issues in God's Word is speaking about what we heard here tonight. These are the little ends, but if we don't have God, we're going to all, our little house will shatter real fast. That's why we haven't got nothing to boast in. I can boast in nothing but God. I can boast in nothing but Him. Jesus Christ, Jesus, Him crucified. And I can boast nothing but Jesus through His giving of life on Calvary's cross, made it that I might obtain that pardon for my sin. And that's what I need to be concerned in my heart, that I might relate that everywhere I go, because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Safe am I in the hollow of His mighty hand. We have the presence of God. The Bible says, for His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of His hearts is made perfect toward Him. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I shall forgive their sins and heal the land. We all need to turn. We've all failed God. But God is there to give us the hand, the signal. Come on, my children. Come on, come on. Leave all your junk outside. Bring yourself in and I'll clean you up. That's what God says. Leave your junk out there. Just leave it out there. We'll just get rid of that old junk. God says, now come in, unto me, all of you weary and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest to your soul. Come in, my children. Come to me. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. The enemy comes to kill, destroy, and steal, but he says, I have come to give you life and give you more abundant life. Great peace and they that love my law, and nothing shall offend them. God has given us the Word of God that's powerful, sharp and attuned. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you start thinking bad things in him, you need to take counsel. You need to take time. Say, Lord, what's wrong with me? I should not think these things. We should not harbor things that's wrong. We should not be found in a place of where there's any questions. And I think compromising is a place that most Christians find themselves. I've been on church boards, but I've found no man that will stand. I mean, they all fall apart. Places I've been, they just fall down. I guess that's why God blessed me. They just wouldn't stay strong. You know, I said, you know, we can't compromise. Why can't we compromise? God expects us to compromise. No, He doesn't. God wants us to live above reproach. He wants us to live a higher calling. He wants to live in His covering. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That says, I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snares of the fowler and from the noiseless pestilence. He shall deliver us from all these areas. It says, though 1,000 shall come to thy side, 10,000 right hand shall not come nigh unto thee. For He shall give His angels charge over thee. I'm persuaded that God will go beyond. He will go beyond us. He's there to enable us. He's there to give us strength. He's able to support us. He's able that we're more than conquerors through Him which loved us. Be ye clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, humble yourself in the body of heaven, that He might exalt, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because the adversary of the devil, going around as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in the brethren in the world. God says, my people, come unto me, and I'll be with you. Cast your cares upon me, for I love thee. See, many times when we hurt the Lord, then we're so ashamed, we don't want to come back to Him. We're like a dog that knows he got in trouble, but then he don't want to come back to us, for he's afraid he's going to get a licking. And I think that shouldn't happen, but I mean, there's people that treat animals that way. God is not there to give us lickings. But He will, if we keep on, we can lose our ground. And if we deliberately go against Him, and the Holy Ghost is some area that we need to really take heed. You know, and I believe for people who have once known, my heart goes out for many people who I know have a real good relationship. And today they're far from that place. You know, and they say, well, that's the way the times are. The Bible says that that day should not come upon us as unprepared. And there's going to be a lot of days the enemy is going to try to remove the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his motive, to take away God's people. But God has given his people power in his word. He's given us that we can have the overcomers, that we can have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We can have peace, wonderful peace. Truly his peace is beyond anything that we can ever hope for. I don't know if you've been in, but I've been in combat zones. When it's war, you know it's war. When it's peacetime, there's just nothing going on. And that's the way it is for the Lord. Pretty soon, this wars are going to cease. And I was reading it tonight in Isaiah. They will come at that day and say, the enemy, who is this that came to deceive the nations? He brought them down. It's Lucifer. But his day is going to be ended. He's been a problem from the very beginning. But the Bible says that those days are going to be shortened. He's a little flock, be not afraid, for I, the Lord thy God, will be with thee. He will keep those ones who come unto him. He's coming through the clouds of glory. God's very merciful. And God is always aware of what's going on. He's not asleep. It says, I will lift my eyes to the hills, whence come my help. My help comes to the Lord, which made the heaven. He will not suffer thy foot to be evil. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be healed of this whatever I had. God heals me now, I'll be thankful. But if it doesn't, I'm still going to be content.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I think that's where we have to be. Learn to be content. God wants to bless us. And there's nothing that compares with His Spirit. You know, this body, I guess that we've all made of dust. And while we're here, we got to use what we have. And I want to give Him what I have, that we might stay true to our God. The Bible says, Jesus said, it says, better to make it to heaven without foot or hand or eye and make it than have these extra parts of our body and miss it. And that's, I believe, my calling has not been so much I've seen God move in healing people, but the where He's called me in is our hearts getting touched. And that's what God is more concerned about. The Lord is really concerned with, as He should be, because it's predicted in His word that many, many, many are going to be missing at the day when He comes. And if that's true, which His word is true, the Lord's heart is going to be very broken because of those who have missed. He made us that we'd have an appropriated time from the time that we come in this world, the end of that time, by the time that He takes us out, that our hearts will be changed toward Him. That's really basically, it's how it might be low key saying it that way, but that's basically the way it is. God has a plan and a visitation of time for each one of us that we might fulfill the destiny He's called us to venture into. He's called us all to be witnesses for Him, and not so much in verbally, but in our actions. That our life would be without any question. And with that, God could speak to your heart at any given second. And you don't tell other people what, but you speak the things and God will have things happen. Because you're right where you should be. And this is a very wonderful, if you went to the, what do they call a computer, what do they call this, when you go out and ask for things, nobody could give you a satisfaction that God can give you. That's one thing I learned when I first started out, that I could not be concerned on the consequences. You know, a lot of things we want to do for the Lord, we're saying, well, is there any consequences? That was one of the things I learned very early. We can't be concerned about the consequences. We just got to go ahead and do them as unto the Lord. Because if you do, then it puts you in a level that you can't receive in. It doesn't take a lot to get you away from really hearing from God. It's your attitude, a lot of different facets, I guess you would call it, that where we are able to hear from heaven.
it probably is given to some people more than anybody else too, but I realize in it, it's not any of your qualities in you, it's all from God. That He helps you, and your terminology is, and God's terminology is a little different, but yet they come by words, and all these words are processed by the Holy Spirit. Basically, just you're just a tool being used, and that's basically the way your life is also when you go from here. You're just a tool being used from the Lord. So basically, you don't have to know a lot of times what you're doing, but if it's God's in you, you know what's going to be okay. When you pray for someone, that person you pray for, he or she might be there, God will give you that in yourself, it's all as well. We don't really have to know all that we want to know. And when we know, we get in trouble. That's why God made it as simple as it is, but yet, like you out there, it seems complicated, but it's not that complicated. You just have to do it in God's ways. You can't do anything within yourself. He is the one that does it all, but yet you receive it.